Evolving education for a changing world. Expand your career opportunities and earn an MBA from University of Cincinnati Online Lindner College of Business. Designed for busy professionals, UC Online MBA is flexible, personalized, and supports students from application all the way through graduation. Get the world-class degree you deserve without sacrificing work or family commitments. Apply now at online.uc.edu/MBA.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Regional Roundup with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent with the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle. Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank joining you. Ryan's back with a finance update in just 10 minutes or so. Now, last week, we spoke about how anti-military protesters in Myanmar were getting creative.
Well, it looks like this week we have seen more unusual demonstration tactics in the form of clapping and spray painting the streets of the capital, Yangon, red.
The latter was to signify the deaths of hundreds of martyrs killed by troops.
Yeah, let's not miss out. Malaysia, the country's ruling partners, Perikatan Nasional and UMNO have started separate tours around the country. And this comes just months before the general election is anticipated.
But what are the expectations for these state tours and how might Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin drum up support?
All right. Finally, we turn our attention to the Philippines, where their President Rodrigo Duterte's administration issued the strongest words yet about China's conduct in the South China Sea.
This one rolls on and on. So how will the country resolve its diplomatic row with China?
The man with the answers, Leslie Lopez, Straits Times regional correspondent. Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. Good morning, Malaysia. I'm doing good.
All right, let's start off in Myanmar, where we've seen different kinds and styles of demonstrations. Given that the demonstrators' ability to organize, may have been hampered in recent days by the military's halt of broadband wireless internet, what kind of alternative forms of demonstrations could we potentially see? And, well, I don't know, do you hear anything in the grapevine in terms of what's being prepared?
Well, actually, nothing very pleasant to report here. I haven't heard anything with grapevine on how they're going to, continue with their actions of disobedience and, anger and, show their anger towards the coup. But I think this spraying and splashing of paint on public infrastructure is an extension of what we've been seeing in recent weeks and how these protesters are deploying, rather novel ways of to show their opposition and also anger. I think what we probably will see is measures to really have that will have an adverse impact on the economy, which is critical for the military. And what is interesting is that the military has been unable to break the spirit of the protesters despite their bloody crackdowns. Even like you said, restrictions on broadband services, internet access, and they haven't been able to quell their spirit. More people are being emboldened. More recently, we're seeing the military turning to detain celebrities and models, social media influencers, who have now picked up the fight too. So as we go on, we're seeing more groups joining this opposition towards the military. And I think this is only going to get more and more. These groups are going to get bigger, more and more emboldened in the coming days.
And sadly, people are still dying in these protests the military reaction. Okay, Leslie, let's take it to Malaysia. The decision for UMNO to go it alone into the next election without Malaysian Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin's Perikatan Nasional coalition is already being felt.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
They're doing their tours, aren't they? The PN and UMNO, their own tours.
Yeah,
that is.
That's right. So are the expectations for all of this and PM Muhyiddin's state tour? How's he going to use this to gain political support for PN and his party?
The people are in, political parties are in election mode now, but still, the calls are for parliament to convene. Muhyiddin is kind of tone deaf towards those appeals. I guess we're going to see groups like UMNO, Muhyiddin's Bersatu Party, try and drum up support, particularly in the rural areas, for the Malay vote. And this is where it's going to be interesting, actually, because never before in political history has the politically dominant Malay vote been so split. So many parties competing for support from the same pool of voters, you know. So it is going to be interesting what kind of messaging they're going to give, you know, how they're going to deal with problems facing ordinary Malaysians, particularly ordinary Malays, you know, who make up close to 65% of the population. At a time when, you know, unemployment is high, people are struggling to make ends meet. Mm. So this is going to be interesting to see what they're going to offer, actually, what they're going to offer to voters, because I think the Malaysian electorate is certainly more sophisticated today than in previous elections. And, you know, we've seen the ruling coalition, you know, Barisan Nasional, which was in power before for 60 years, get thrown out. So I think we're going into really uncharted waters, and especially after the pandemic. Politics has changed, dynamics have changed. So it's going to be interesting how these guys shape their messages, actually.
It certainly is, Leslie. And I know we have a bunch of questions to get through with you, but I did want to ask you very briefly, what are some of the tactics that have been used in the past, and do you think that they will still be valid today?
Well, you know, in the past, it has been easy about, you know, Malay dominance, you know, fighting for Malay rights and all that kind of stuff. But I think this messaging, particularly towards the younger voters, you know, the government, I think, has made a big misstep, a major misstep, by delaying this plan to allow people who are age 18 and above to vote. They want to delay that, and I think that's only going to anger the youth and, you know, anger people, groups of people who make up the young voting population. Mm-hmm. And that group actually is expanding. So I think moving to delay this, allowing for the younger voters to, you know, people 18 and above to vote, is a major misstep. And that is something is going to be, I think, going to be crucial on how these political parties do their messaging actually.
Yeah. It's a very different approach that voters are taking as well. Let's also bear in mind that there's more young people and their views on the world. Take, for example, Leslie, there's this issue, right, where, 2 years ago, China banned plastic waste imports. Then Malaysia became the destination of choice for countries to send their waste over. But now, Malaysia has sent 267 containers of illegal plastic waste back to the countries of origin since 2019. And they plan to send even more, like 81 or something like that. Again, you know, this Malaysia is not tolerating being a pushover anymore, if I might use that term. How will this factor in moving forward?
Well, you know, the thing is that there is a lot of opposition towards the so-called dumping of plastic in Malaysia. And I think what is little talked about is that there is a lot of illegal stuff that is coming in, and there's no longer space for where to dump this anymore. So the environmental groups, social interest groups, pressure groups are basically telling the government, we cannot tolerate this. So I think soon, this message is hitting the government, and they're trying to deal with this. But the problem here is actually there's so many kind of groupings, illegal groups, cartels, who are involved in this dumping, you know. And a lot of that gets unreported, and there's a lot of corruption involved. And this is something that really needs to be addressed.
Yeah, clearly the message is enough is enough. Speaking of which, let's take it to the Philippines. President Rodrigo Duterte's administration has issued the strongest words yet about China's conduct in the South China Sea. And may I just say that my thesis at university was about Chinese foreign policy in the South China Sea. It was 22 years ago that I was writing about that. And the same issues have not gone away. They've only got more intense. So they've talked about in the Philippines the territorial incursions by hundreds of Chinese vessels. So it's another more toned-down statement, but the team says they want to resolve this peacefully. I mean, what happens now?
Well, you know, the president has little choice. While there's public anger against the Chinese presence, it's an issue that Duterte knows that he can't extract much political mileage from, because, you know, the serious limitations when dealing with China, especially for a country like Philippines. Unlike his ministers and generals, the president has been striking much more measured tone in his comments, noting that this matter needs to be dealt with carefully through diplomatic channels, peaceful means, calm heads. But, you know, clearly China's presence is providing president with a headache, especially for his for his domestic audience, but also it is clearly raising a bit of concern also with the US, Japan, and other countries, you know. So, but toning down the message in Philippines is something I think we need to expect and probably appreciate too, because there are just limitations when dealing with China on this.
Mm. We've been speaking with Leslie Lopez, Straits Times regional correspondent, certainly gone through a lot of issues this Wednesday morning. Leslie, really appreciate your time. You take care and stay safe.
Thank you, Elliot. Thanks, Musha.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.